Glory to God. 1 Kings 19. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Now, Elijah here has just had a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And you know the story in 1 Kings 18. Most everybody knows this story. Elijah has just had a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And here in chapter 19, you see an interesting turn of events that takes place with Elijah. It says in verse 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down underneath a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came and a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Verse 9, he came into the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and thrown down your altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and those that seek my life to take it away. Have you ever felt alone before? And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Hallelujah. Verse 13, "And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out, and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars." Just a repeat of the conversation he just had. "And thrown down your altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." How many of you have ever just poured out your complaint to God, and he responded and seemed like he just ignored everything you just said? "Well, Lord, this and this and this and that." And he comes back and says, get back to your business here. You got a job to do. Elijah's having a hard, discouraging time, but the Lord comes back straight with his next assignment. And it was really one of the greatest assignments that Elijah had. In verse 15, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimeloah shall you anoint to be prophet in your room." So the Lord gives Elijah his next assignment. Now let's turn to the end of the story here. We're going to pick up in 2 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to read the end of the story. 2 Kings chapter 8. A lot of verses, a lot of chapters pass between 1 Kings 19 and 2 Kings 8. And a lot of time passed between 1 Kings 19 and 2 Kings 8. But the word of the Lord still came to pass. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 8. And verse 8, "And the king said unto him, Hazael, take and present in thy hand and go." Hazael was not the king of Syria yet. Now the Lord has just spoken to Elijah to go anoint Hazael to be king. Now here in verse 8, he's not king yet, but we're going to see how this takes place. "The king said to Hazael, Take a present in your hand and go and meet the man of God. He's talking about Elijah. And inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burdened, and came and stood before him and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said unto him, go say unto him, you may certainly recover, howbeit the Lord has showed me that you shall surely die. In verse 11, and he settled, this is talking about Elisha, and he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed. And the man of God wept, Elisha wept. And Hazael said, why are you weeping, my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds will you set on fire, their young men will you slay with a sword. And he goes on to talk about what he's going to do. In verse 13, and Hazael responded and said, but what is your servant a dog that I should go and do this great thing? And Elisha answered and said, the Lord has showed me that you will be king over Syria. Now, if you read all the chapters through between where we started in 1 Kings 19 and where we just read in 2 Kings 8, you will see that Elijah actually never went to Hazael and anointed him to be king of Syria. Now, maybe Elijah was a little discouraged. I don't know, but it's not recorded that he ever went to Hazael and did what the Lord told him to do. But here Elisha prophesies it. Now, Elijah, as you know, did go to Elisha and transfer the mantle over to Elisha. He anointed him in his stead as the prophet, and he got the double portion. So here is Elisha picking up where Elijah left off. If the Lord has to get somebody to pick up where somebody left off in your life, he's going to be faithful to the word that he has given to you. My message tonight is God's word never dies. God's word never dies. If God has to get somebody else to take up the baton, if somebody failed in your life, if somebody failed in your ministry, if somebody's failed here in the United States of America that has brought the nation to a place where there's so much sin and debauchery all over the place, God's word never fails. God's word and promise for revival in the United States of America is not going to fail. Hallelujah. Because there are too many people like Pastor Bob himself sitting here that believe God. And that are still standing and waiting and believing God. So Elisha comes and finishes where Elijah left off. And you know, sometimes we might get real critical of ourselves and say, well, I failed. The Lord told me to do this and I didn't do it. The Lord led me to do this and I didn't do it. But you know, your failures really aren't that big of a deal to God if you just keep your heart right. Don't beat yourself up and condemn yourself over a mistake that you made, over a failure that you made. God is not finished with you. It's more about the word of God and the anointing of God that he has put on the inside of you than how good you are at obeying every single thing the Lord tells you to do, as long as you keep your heart right. Because God's word never dies. What he has spoken to you will come to pass. I'm telling you, the long-term dream, the long-term word that you have is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. God hasn't forgotten. Elijah is dead, and the word and the direction that God gave him to do wasn't done. He hadn't anointed Hazael, but it still happened. Even if you feel like you're powerless to do what God's called you to do, even if you feel like I've done everything that I know how to do and I've still fallen short, Lord, I just can't do it. I've tried and I've pushed and I've burdened as hard as I can, but I can't do it. God can still get it done in your life tonight. Can you say amen? God's word never dies. And I don't care if you're dead and God has to resurrect you, he will still fulfill his word in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's word never dies. God's word to you never dies. That thing that he spoke years ago that you knew was God, and everything has come against it, and it is 6 feet under right now, and you think it's never going to happen. I want you to know that that thing that is 6 feet under right now is not a corpse that you have lost, but it is a seed that you have sown, and God's resurrection power is here in this season to resurrect it for you. Hallelujah. To the faith person, when something's 6 feet under, it's not a corpse, it's a seed. Hallelujah. You bury both of them. You kiss them both goodbye. And Jesus said, I believe it's in Mark chapter 4 or 5 in there, he said, the seed springs forth, the sower knows not how. You know what? There comes a time in your life, and there comes a time in your family, in your marriage, in your ministry, in your money, when you just don't know how it's going to happen. And you just have to walk away from it and say, Lord, if this is you, it's going to take place. If you cannot walk away from what God has given you and God has promised you, if you cannot walk away from it in faith, then there may be something that God's got to do in your heart, because God can do it all on his own. He needs your obedience. He needs your prayer. He needs your shouting. But there comes a time when that thing, baby, is 6 feet under and there's nothing you can do. God's word never dies. It's not a corpse that has been lost into the ground 6 feet under. It's a seed that's going to spring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. I'm telling you, if there is something, listen to me right now, if there is something in your life that has been buried and you knew that God spoke to you, you knew that he spoke to you and you don't understand, if there's something in your life that has been buried and you fought it as hard as you could, you pushed against that being buried, you fought it and did everything you could to stop that thing, that death from taking place, and it still happened, I want you to know that the hand of God is at work in your life. And the hand of God is working in your life, because that thing that was sowed was just one. But after God finishes raising it up from the dead, it's going to be 30, 60, and 100-fold. If something in your life has died that you know God spoke to you about, it is because it had to get so big that you could not take care of it on your own. And when it's sown into the ground, it gets into the hands of God. When it is sown into the ground, it gets into the hand of God, where he can work and multiply it. But while it's still in your hand, God can't multiply it. Like my friend J.D. Thomas told me the other day, he said, life doesn't come from perfection, it comes from dirt. That is one of the best one-liners I've ever heard in my life. You need to write that down tonight. Life doesn't come from perfection, it comes from dirt. Man, God gives you a promise and you got it in your hand and you're going to perfect that promise all by yourself. You're even going to pray and fast over that promise and it's beginning to slip out of your hand and go 6 feet under. But it's not your perfection. It's not the work of your hands. It is important that you be faithful. Don't get me wrong. You can't just have a que sera, sera attitude and just walk away and be faithless. But there comes a time, I'm telling you, and you know what I'm talking about, when there's stuff that you've been believing God for and it just goes buried underground and there's nothing you could have done to stop it. And you sit there and you look back over the last 10, 15 years, if I had done this, if I had done this, no, there's nothing. Hindsight's 20/20, and that still doesn't help. You know what I'm talking about tonight? You're like, I'm going to figure this thing out. No, you're not figuring anything out. You can't figure out the resurrection from the dead. You just got to believe it. You can't figure out the resurrection from the dead. You just got to believe it. Life doesn't come from perfection in your own hands. It's going to come from the dirt that thing has been sown into. And God's word never dies. Never, 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 never quit on the word that God has given you. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 9. Now remember, the Lord told Elijah to go anoint Elisha. Elijah did that. He also said, go anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. Elijah didn't do that. He also said, go anoint Jehu to be king of Israel. There's no record where Elijah did that. But we know that Elijah received the word from God and he believed it was true. So now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 9 and see how this happens, because He didn't, there's no record that Elijah went to Jehu. Let's see what happens here. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1 says, and Elisha, the prophet, called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up your loins and take this box of oil in thy hand. I love this story about Jehu. I hope you don't mind if we just do a little bit of reading right here. Gird up your loins and take this box of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when you come there, look out for there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go in, make him stand up from among his brethren, carry him to an inner chamber. Take this box of oil, pour it on his head, and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. then open the door, flee, and tarry not. Now, when you read through 2 Kings and Chronicles, when the prophets had a very clear direction, they better obey it. Because there was one prophet that went up to somebody and said, hit me in the face, punch me in the face. And the guy said, I'm not going to do it. And I don't remember how he died. I think a lion came and ate him. I mean, you better do what the Lord says to do. It's not going to be that fast of a judgment on you. I mean, the lion's not going to come running in here tonight and chew you up. But he gives specific direction. When God gives specific direction, man, we got to obey the specific direction. And he does. Verse 4, so the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captain of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand unto you, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of us? And he said, unto you. And he arose and went to the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel, and you will smite the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and all the blood of the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off Ahab from every man. I'll just sum it up that way if you're reading the King James. Just verse 9, and I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the house of, you know, Baasha like the house of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in this portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. That's a good young prophet right there. He opened the door and took off. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of the Lord. I'm going to skip down here for the sake of time. Let's see here. So Jehu, start in verse 16. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. And Ahazi, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company. And King Joram said, take there a horseman. And King Joram is a king of Israel. Take a horseman and send to meet him and say, is it peace? So there went one on horseback to meet him, and he said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what do you have to do with peace? Get behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came not to them, and he cometh not again. Verse 19, and he sent out a second horseman, which came to see them. And he said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu said the same thing. What do you have to do with peace? Turn and get behind me. And the watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and came not back again. I sent him out and he didn't come back. And listen to this. The driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. Now, Bobby Crowe told me once that I drove like Jehu, so I wish I was doing better. But anyway, verse 21, and Joram said, make ready, and his chariot was made ready. Look at this. And Joram, the king of Israel, and Ahazi, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahazi, there is treachery, O Ahazi. And verse 24, look at this. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength. And I like this guy Jehu. He drove furiously. And now he's drawing the bow with his full strength. I just believe that's significant for a lot of us tonight. Drawing the bow with your full strength. Drawing the bow with his full strength, and he smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out of his heart, and he sunk down in the chariot. Now let's skip down a little bit. We're going to read about what he did with Jezebel. Let's see. He's coming up to a window where Jezebel is. In verse 32, he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out him two or three eunuchs, and he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. Let's look in verse 36. Now when they came again and told him, said, this is the word of the Lord. This is what Jehu said. I want you to see this. This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat of the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. So Elijah's word came to pass. His word came to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's word never dies. So Elijah here, I just want to try to paint the picture for you tonight. Elijah here, he's just had a tremendous victory against the prophets of Baal. And you think after a victory, I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but you want to have one victory that seals everything. And you also want to have one big victory that is all in your timing. And you're not really concerned about God's timing for things. But you see, Ahab, if you read the entire story, Ahab repented. The Lord sent Elijah to go prophesy to Ahab that you're going to die. Ahab repented, and immediately the Lord spoke to Elijah. See how Ahab is repenting? I'm not going to bring this destruction on him during his days. So Elijah here, he's just had a tremendous victory against the prophets of Baal. But Jezebel comes against him, and she is threatening his life. And you're sitting there thinking, I have just dealt my biggest blow. I have believed God. I have done everything that I know how to do, and I had a tremendous victory. But still, my life is at risk. Still, I have this big enemy just facing me right now, coming against me. And you know that empty feeling when you've done everything that you know how to do, when you've put everything into this that you know how to pray and how to fast and how to shout and believe God. You've done everything that you know how to do, but yet that enemy still stands there. It's what I was sharing a few minutes ago about when that seed is going into the ground to die and you're fighting against that thing. You don't want it to die. You've done everything you know how to do. You don't want this change to take place. You don't want that transition to take place because it hurts. You don't want to have to move. You don't want to have to see somebody else move because it hurts. You want to keep things the way they were because your heart is attached. But when the hand of God begins to do something and God is at work, there's nothing you can do but just get happy about it. Can you say amen tonight? When God's timing is different from your timing, the best thing that you can do is just get happy about it. Elijah here, he wants Jezebel dealt with. He wants Jezebel dealt with just like those prophets of Baal. But now his life is at risk. And I learned this lesson years ago when I was probably like 10 years ago or so. I was going to Mexico to do a crusade. And I just got really excited. I'm always excited about the ministry. So, and I've got this plan. I'm going to go to Mexico and do a crusade. And so I talked with Bobby Crow, and I ordered a $2,000 tent from him, and I was going to go do a crusade in a city, and I was going to bring a tent with me, and we were going to start a church in a city. Now, I had the faith for $2,000 because I had believed God for $2,000 before. I also had the faith for a crusade because I had done crusades before. I had the faith to travel to Mexico. I traveled to Mexico. I've driven out of my driveway going to Mexico before with not enough gas to get me there and no money. I've done stuff like that traveling. It's just ridiculous. And God supplied every single time. I was down in Mexico one time without enough money to come back. And the Lord supplied the money for the gas. I was over in Asia one time wondering if I had enough money for the plane ticket to come back. That's a lot bigger deal. That was not easy for me. But I had the faith for this. I had the faith to travel to Mexico. I had the faith for a crusade. I had the faith for a tent. But, Pastor, I think you already know where I'm going. I did not have a word from God on it. And you know what? When you have the faith for something, but you don't have a word from God on it, it is not going to work. And Elijah had the faith to deal with Jezebel. No biggie, man. And he's probably kicking himself when he went and beheaded all of the prophets of Baal. Why didn't I go get Jezebel right then? That's what I would have been thinking. But he had the faith to deal with Jezebel. He had the anointing to deal with Jezebel, but it wasn't God's timing. And it wasn't, God hadn't given him a specific word to do it. If you have the faith, if you have the anointing for something, but you don't have a word from God on it, it's not going to work. You've got to wait for the timing of God because God knows what he's doing. God's word never dies. So Elijah's here, and I'm still trying to paint this whole story for you. He's got this burning passion to deal with the things of God. I don't know about you, but there's a burning fire on the inside of me when I'm at a coffee shop and I hear people talking about God doesn't exist. And I hear the things on television, and you see all the godlessness going on in the United States of America. And I think, thank God for the good that is going on, for the revival that we're seeing. But when you turn on secular television and homosexuality gets honored and respected and Christianity is getting trashed and disrespected, it grieves me. And I'm in the ministry. The Lord's called me to the United States, and I take that personally, and I get upset about it. I mean, Pastor, I know you watch, you hear something on television, you just want to reach through the television and deal with something right then and there. And Elijah's feeling this right now. We got to understand that he's feeling this about Israel. He's passionate about Israel. He's passionate about the move of God in that nation, that he sees revival throughout Israel and Judah. Israel was a backslidden state at the time. I mean, the king of Israel and his wife were killing the prophets of God. It's a horrible situation. Very similar to what we're having here in the United States. We haven't seen people killed, but there's legislation, and you know what's going on against Christianity, and where we need a move of God. And Elijah, he wants to do it right now. This is a burning fire on the inside of him. But God comes to him, and as we read there in 1 Kings 19, that he goes up to the Mount Horeb, and God comes and he begins to speak to Elijah. But before he does, I want you to zero in with me right now. I know I've said a lot, but I believe this is the most important part. Elijah is there on Mount Horeb, and the Lord shows up. Actually, let's just turn there. I think we need to see this. 1 Kings 19. Elijah is on Mount Horeb, and the Lord shows up. This is so good here in verse 11. The Lord said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And look at this. Behold, the Lord passed by, comma, and a great strong wind rent the mountains." Elijah is focused on revival in Israel. Elijah is focused on Jezebel has got to be stopped. The devil also sees what's going on. The devil, I don't know how he knows, but he knows when the word of God is about to be delivered. He knows when there's a mighty anointing that's about to be transmitted, and somehow he senses that, and he will fight. He will fight, and he will kick and claw and come against you when there's an anointing being deposited, when there's a word of God being deposited in your heart. Jesus said in Luke, he said that the work of God is to believe on him who he has sent. In other words, it's not about doing the big and the great and the mighty first. The first thing is to believe the word of God. The hardest thing to do sometimes is to believe the impossible word that God has given you. So Elijah is here. I'm talking about the believing the word. God is about to give Elijah the most important key. Elijah wants to see the prophets of Baal all destroyed. He wants to see Jezebel destroyed. He wants to see revival in Israel, and God is about to give it to him. Elijah wants to do it himself, but God's got a different plan. God's plan is he's going to give Elijah a word. And notice how big the devil comes and fights the word when it's about to come. The devil does not want you to believe the word that God has given you. Listen to me tonight. The devil is fighting against your faith in the word that God has given you. If he can stop you from believing what God has spoken to you, then he can stop the work of God in your life. And if he can't hit you with a front-on attack and get you to stop believing God, he's going to do what he tried here in 1 Kings 19. It says that the Lord stood next to Elijah and a strong wind came. Right there, you would think God is standing right next to me. And the tendency is to think that everything is the devil can't come in because Jesus is right next to you. But Jesus was there at the Last Supper. And the Bible says Satan entered into Judas, sitting there right at the table. And so here's Elijah, and here's the Lord standing right there. And it says the Lord stood there, and then a strong wind came. Right there, the devil comes to try to bring deception, because the still small voice was about to come. And the devil knew if he could just distract Elijah, if he could just pull Elijah away from hearing that still small voice, then he was going to defeat all the work that God had planned. He was going to stop Jehu from accomplishing everything he was going to accomplish. He was going to stop Elisha from being anointed. The devil was coming against the word. That word that God has given you, it's going to come to pass, but you cannot let the devil trick you about it. If he can't just make you stop and give up, he's going to get behind you and try to push you into believing something about that word that is not true. That God came to give Elijah a word about the still small voice. He came to speak to Elijah. And right there, the devil starts throwing these big, grandiose manifestations and trying to distract Elijah from hearing the word of God. Are you hearing me tonight? The Lord passed by and a great wind. I mean, just like that. If the devil can't stop you front on, he's right when God's speaking to you, he's going to try to get in and get you to doubt the word of God. This was what Elijah was believing God for. How many times do we get in the same position where we want the manifestation? Lord, I've been believing God. I've been waiting. I want the manifestation right now. And God's trying to give you the word that is going to bring the manifestation. But I'm telling you tonight, be humble. Receive the word that God is trying to speak into your heart, because that is going to bring the manifestation. And like I was saying earlier, that word never dies. It is going to come to pass. It is going to manifest. There's nothing that the devil can do. There's nothing that people can do to stop the word of God from manifesting in your life if you do not let go of it. So here the devil's trying to distract Elijah. A big strong wind comes, a fire comes, an earthquake comes. Elijah was never moved by any of these things. He was never moved by the spectacular. The devil's trying to just make a big bunch of noise. He's trying to flash this around. Why? When God's bringing you the thing that you need the most, are you hungry enough for the word that when this great big manifestation is going on, that you just stand there and you're nonchalant and you just ignore it? I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm looking for a word from God. That earthquake was not going to defeat Jezebel. That fire wasn't going to bring revival to Israel. That wasn't the fire of God. That was the fire of the devil. That wind wasn't going to bring to pass what God had planned. And the devil's throwing all these distractions, saying, look at this, look at this. And if you can just hear the still small voice, God is speaking. If you're hungry enough, if you're humble enough to hear what he is saying, God is speaking to you right now. God's word never dies. They're always in motion, and they are always, and they're in motion in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Just because they often seem dead in the natural doesn't mean anything. Let me read you a few things here. Elisha finished what Elijah wasn't in God's timing for. God brought it all to pass. God's word to and through Elijah never died, even though Elijah did. God's moves and God's words come to pass in their season and not in our season. Can you say amen tonight? They come to pass in God's season, not in our season. In Luke 1:20, that's what Jesus said to Zacharias. It's got to come to pass. The words will come to pass in their season. The people that never let go of God's word are the ones that God is going to use to manifest it. Jehu, as we read there, he remembered what God had spoken through the prophet Elijah after he killed Jezebel. He remembered the word. He hadn't forgotten the word. And God's word never dies. If you haven't forgotten what he has spoken to you, it is coming to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen to this. It picks up right where it left off years ago. The word through Jehu came to pass as he went and brought judgment to Jezebel and Israel. The word through Elisha came to pass, and the word through Hazael, the king of Syria, came to pass. Just like things had never stopped. You see, God spoke the word to Elijah, and then who knows how many years later, 10, 15, 20 years later, boom, when timing came to pass, it was like momentum never stopped. God's not moved by the time. God's not moved by the time gap. And you may think it was going so good. We almost had this job done. We could have tied this thing off and been done with it. And then 15 years later, it begins to open up. 15 years later, God's plan and God's will begins to come to pass. And all of a sudden, this supernatural momentum comes out of nowhere. And Elijah's thinking, this momentum that I had with the prophets of Baal is all lost. Now I'm here running from Jezebel and everything's going the wrong direction. But God was not moved by that. And you think, I had all this momentum, and the word is down in the ground and it's buried. But when the time comes, that momentum is going to kick in. And God's got somebody like a Jehu for you that is going to drive furiously to see the plan of God come to pass for your life. You're going to come to that place where you're going to draw the bow with full strength. You're not going to draw the bow and it slip out of your hand again. You're not going to draw the bow and the arrow miss, but you're going to draw that bow with full strength when that word comes to pass in its timing. Can you say hallelujah? The momentum hasn't been lost. The momentum for your plan, the God's plan for your life hasn't been lost. Hallelujah. God will resume everything just like there never was a time period in there between. Hallelujah. That momentum has not been lost. Glory to God. Receive and believe the word of God no matter what. The attack, when you look at the whole scheme of things from this word from Jehu all the way on back to Elijah, the attack was greater against Elijah, the one who had to press in and hear the word and believe the word. The attack came against Elijah. Fight the fight of faith and believing the impossible, and doing it will be easier. Think, Lord, I could never do this, but if you can just believe it. Lord, I can't do this. Well, you don't have to worry about doing it if you can just believe it. Hallelujah. Don't stop believing. Never stop believing. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him, the Word, whom He has sent. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Well, why don't you stand up on your feet? Hallelujah. Never stop believing. There are some in here tonight that I want to pray with you right now, and that's a word for you, to never stop believing. You may have served God at one time. You may have been seeking and following God one time with all of your heart, but you fell back. And you've stopped believing in yourself. You've thought, man, this Christianity stuff is not for me. I can't serve God. I can't do it. It's too hard. You feel like, I can't go and fulfill what God has called me to do. I've got this bondage. I've got this problem. But I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about doing the impossible right now. You just need to believe the impossible. And your step right now is to receive Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior. God has a plan for you, and it has not been aborted because you made a mistake. God's plan for your life has not been lost because you made a mistake. You may be in this place right now, and if you were to die, you don't know for sure that you would go to heaven. The Lord is speaking to your heart. He's speaking to your life right now, and He is saying, come to me. I've got this worked out. It looks like a dead situation. Your life looks like it's dead, but I've got this worked out. Jesus is saying, come to me tonight. Or you may be in this place and you know that you're going to heaven, but you also know your life is not right with Jesus. You just know there's something between you and Jesus, and your heart is not right with God, and you need to get things right with the Lord tonight. I'm speaking to you. The Lord is touching on your heart. You can feel your heart pounding right now. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. And that last thing that I said, never stop believing. You need to never stop believing. Never stop believing that God can pull you out. Never stop believing that His love is infinite for you to deliver you. And don't quit. God hasn't quit on you. God hasn't quit on you. So if you're one of those two people tonight, God is pleading with you. You say, David, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Or the second category of person, you say, David, I know that I'm going to heaven, but I know my heart is not right with God. I want to pray with you right now. God is speaking to your heart. And I want you to raise your hand and pray with me. If you're in this place, just put your hand up in the air right now. You know the Lord is speaking to your heart. It's time to come to Him and get right. Just raise your hand high and wave it at me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those hands going up right now. Thank you for those hands going up right now. If you raise your hand, you can put it down. Hallelujah. The Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. If there's anybody else, you haven't raised your hand already. Never stop believing right now. Don't give up on Jesus. He hasn't given up on you. That's why you're here tonight. If your heart's not right with God and you haven't raised your hand already, just raise it up in the air right now. Wave it at me so I can see you and pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you raised your hand already, I want you to take that next bold step and step out of your seat and come down here. Hallelujah. If you raised your hand already, take that next bold step and come out of your seat and come down here to the front with me. And if there's anybody else, you know the Lord's speaking to your heart. It's time to come to Jesus tonight. Just step out of your seat. It's time to break loose right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus right now. He's tugging on your heart. He's tugging on your heart. This is the biggest and the best decision that you're ever going to make. Come to Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may have stopped believing in yourself, but the Lord hasn't stopped believing in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus believes in you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody else right now, you haven't come down to the front, but you're struggling right now, just raise your hand and wave it at me. If there's anybody else in this auditorium tonight, you haven't moved, you haven't come forward, but you know you're struggling in your heart right now, and the Lord's touching your heart, just wave your hand at me. If there's anybody else, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just praise God for this harvest of souls tonight. We've got a summer of harvest ahead of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, church, tonight it's time to win the lost at any cost. There are people waiting on you, waiting on your obedience tonight. I just want to stir you up. If you've got something in your heart, I've been needing to go out for that evangelism. I've been needing to go out with stitches and go out and win souls. I want to stir you up right now to obey God, because this is what it's all about right here. This is what it's all about, is seeing a harvest of souls. This is what it's about. This is why Elijah wasn't impressed with all the signs and the wonders and all that pizzazz. Man, the pizzazz going on in the church can distract us. Elijah wanted the results that God wanted. He wanted to see a revival. Hallelujah. Man, don't let the pizzazz and all the excitement of different things move you. That's not the word of God. God wants you to bring the word to the lost. We've got a summer of harvest ahead of us tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stretch your hands forward to here to the front? Everybody up here, I just want you to place both hands over your heart like this. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is risen from the dead, that you shall be saved. And I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray with you a prayer that says, Jesus, I believe you died for me and I want to surrender my life to you. And when you pray this, the most important thing is that you mean this with your heart and surrender everything over to Jesus. I can't go in your heart and make the change, but the Lord can. But you've just got to open the doors. Your responsibility tonight is not to change everything about your life. You just need to let Jesus in and let him change you. Hallelujah. So I want you to pray this prayer after me. Just say it out loud. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose from the dead. to forgive all of my sin. And I repent for all sin and hardness of heart. And I surrender my life to you right now. You are my Lord and Savior. Let me never be the same. Change my life, Lord Jesus. And fill me with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just take a moment up here at the front just to thank the Lord for saving you right now. I want you to know that as you have prayed that prayer, surrendering your life to Jesus, that He has saved you. You will know when your time comes that you are going to heaven. You've made the best decision that you can ever make. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for touching every single one of these people right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.